I just want to give props to Mr. Ryan Stolte for preaching last week. Did an awesome job. I think he's counting right now. He's going through and getting a count on our kiddos. But for those that have been asking, I am doing much better. And it was funny getting my lungs back. You know, that kind of that endurance thing after you've gone through both the flu and I think it was pneumonia in the lungs or whatever. I was just like all week walking upstairs and going like, and so last night we're in worship and I felt like, I just was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to dance with you. And if I pass out, I can blame it on being slain in the spirit. Okay. But I'm just going to worship you. Okay. And I'm just going to go through a time. And it was awesome as I began to worship. I had that feeling that kind of, you know, overcomes your chest where you're like, oh my gosh, like almost asthmatic. And then I just remember the Holy Spirit saying, I got you, push through. And so I kept dancing and singing, and then my endurance came back last night. It was awesome. And so I think it's a point for us of when we engage in things that feel foolish, that's when breakthrough comes. That God says in the scriptures that he'll use the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And when he's talking about the wise, he's not talking about really wise people. He's talking about the authorities in the spiritual realm that have thought themselves wise, more wiser than God, smarter than God, have all the plans. What do we need God for? And he says he uses the foolish things of the world to shame those who think they're wise. And so, and what I want to say is that in your weakness, he is strong, right? But it causes us, or it takes us, getting to that moment of weakness and being okay with being weak. Guys, does that feel like an oxymoron? Like, as a man, I'm like, I'm not weak. Are you kidding me? I'm strong. I don't care on my worst day. I'm big. I'm bad. I'm going to go up. But that pride will keep us from accessing a whole nother realm. Something that brings us strength, that brings us encouragement. And so I think through... And I'm always careful on saying, okay, we don't want to make the devil bigger than he really is. I think some church systems or religious systems build a bigger devil. And it's almost like that whole verse that says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And the picture that sometimes is put out there is here's these big, huge gates, and here's this tiny little church down here just cowering against. And instead we have to realize, wait a minute, the gates of the hell are trembling at you. The gates of hell are trembling at those kids. As Amber Kay was talking about, and this little girl's spiraling around, wait, hold on, teacher, Jesus is talking to me. The gates of hell are trembling because of that little girl that's 4, 5, 6 years old. Why is that? It's because she's accessing kingdom, inheritance, something that we have greater access to than the things that we can see in this world. And so we started this series a few weeks ago called Seated with Him. And Victoria, will you give me those Ephesians verse? Ephesians chapter 2, and I think I started in verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. And I want to pick on this. Hold on that. Go back to that real quick. Who is rich in mercy. Let me hear you say rich. Does God lack anything? He's not a poverty God. And I think there's some poverty mentality that's worked itself into the church. And part of where it comes down into is this false view of humility, that in order for me to be humble before the Lord, I have to make myself a worm. And that's not what it's like at all. And at the same time, in the church, we've had, I think, some dangerous theology that says, well, God just wants everybody to be rich and have Ferraris and fly on planes and all this stuff, and it all becomes about the riches. And we lose focus. In fact, I was telling the worship team this morning, it was funny, I'm sitting in this perspective. Let me read the verse and I'll tell you what I was thinking. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Give me the next verse, verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, you have the throne of heaven. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the front throne, and you're seated with him in heavenly realms. And what the Lord was really putting in my heart is the next couple of weeks, I feel like we're supposed to talk about finances and kingdom economy and what does that look like very specifically. And it's like, you know, so I gave you all this illustration a few weeks ago, like you're seated with this and we're looking on the earth and going, all right, this is cool, God. I'm going to watch what you're going to do. Hey, God, that place over there needs some more financing. This place over here needs some more healing. That place over there needs more hope and this or that. And that's not a bad perspective, but it shouldn't be our first perspective. And so as I was sitting here with the Lord thinking about financing, like, you know, because we're, you know, we're talking about building a building and all this different stuff, like it like requires financing of what it's going to look like. And I'm going, okay, God, you know, we really, if we had a business plan, we did this, and the, you know, resources would come together, and I felt this. I'm like, yeah, but if we, and I felt the tap again, and I look up, and he goes, I'm right here. All that stuff will happen, but here's what I need you to do. Keep your focus on me. Not even on the earth. So it's heaven invades earth, but the way, the number one way heaven invades earth is when we keep our eyes on him in heaven who sits on his throne, and he does the invading. We're not the ones that have to invade. We have to partner with him, and he carries us to invade. He brings his resources. He brings his hope. He brings his healing. He brings his purpose. So when we pray for the sick at the end of service, what are we asking? Right now, as it is in heaven, Lord, bring the healing into that place. We're delivering good news. There's a conduit process. But even as I'm handing the good news, my eyes are on him at all times. It's the same thing with finances. It's this thing, and I don't want to talk about necessarily today. Dave Ramsey does an amazing job with financing 101, budgeting 101. He does a great job. If you want the how-tos, go to Dave Ramsey. We've talked about restarting another, what's the name of his thing? Financial Peace University, and having as an opportunity. But here's the thing, I want you to get this perspective. And I picked it up from David last night, and it really, really helped to reshape the message for this morning. What was that this, is that if I'm looking for information on how to run my finances, I can get that, but I'm going to miss the most important thing, the giver of the finances. I need an encounter, I don't need information. When I have an encounter with him, I get all the information that I need. It flows down into my life. But my first desire must be to have a one-on-one encounter with him. So why do we talk about how can you hear from the Lord? Why are we training those kids that they can hear God speak? Because the number one thing is you have to know faith comes by hearing God speak directly to you. It brings hope. And so we have to constantly redirect, refocus our attention, not onto the things of the earth, and not even onto the answers that we need. Sometimes I'm going, oh, I need healing. Well, no, actually, you need me, is what he says. I know you need healing. It says the Lord knows what you need before you even ask it. But what he knows is you need him more than you need the healing. Well, I need provision for this. How are we going to pay our bills? Yeah, I'll get to that. You need me. Because what has your heart? What's gripping your heart? What's taking your attention to focus away? You will empower what you focus on. You will empower what you focus on. So if your attention's on your problem, you're going to empower your problem. If your attention's on your need, you will empower the need. But if your attention's on him, you will empower him to bring answers and solutions to the challenges and the problems that you're looking at. So let's go ahead and look at this Matthew chapter 6. And again, what I felt like the Lord is doing is I want to talk about mindset, mentality. Where's our attention more than necessarily budgeting 101, some of those things. So we're going to pick up in verse 19 of chapter 6, Matthew. And this is out of the New King James Version. It says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Let me hear you say treasures in heaven. "Where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal." Now, I want to really be careful with this verse. This is not saying don't be wise and plan. If you've got a 401k plan, there's wisdom. If you've got savings, there's wisdom. There's stewardship. And stewardship is a good thing. The Lord gives to those who steward the small before he gives them the more. But in that process, what's going to allow you to steward is first your attention. Who are you keeping your attention on? And so what he's saying is, don't lay up things on the earth that have your attention, that create security for you on the earth. If your security comes from how much money is in your bank account, you're deceived. If your security comes in the fact that you've got a good, well-paying job, then you've been deceived. If your security comes from that you have a great marriage, you've been deceived. Humans will fail you, but God never will. Amen. Right? Don't put somebody or something onto the throne of God. You're seated with him in heavenly realities. And the challenge is when we take God off the throne and we put finances, our spouse, our father, our heroes, or the villains in our life. Because we put our attention on those who have hurt us, and we end up putting them onto a seat of authority in our life. And we empower those things to have greater influence. So what he's saying is, don't store up anything on this earth that you're going to put your security into, that you're going to have your favor into. But instead, store it up in heaven. Where is your attention? Where's the heart attention going to? It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, whatever you value the most, your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart, wherever your treasure is, those things will be consumed by that treasure. And so again, if my treasure's on earth, how am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where are we going to live? Those things will have authority and empower my mind, my thoughts, my emotions will be wrapped up into. And now, therefore, my security and my peace will be dependent on whether somebody takes my stuff or not, takes my health or not, takes my relationship or not. And what Jesus is saying is this, is like, look, it's so important to understand this. In this world, you'll face trials. Don't worry, I've overcome those. But you're going to face trials. But when the trial comes, where have you stored up your peace? Where have you stored up what you treasure the most? If it's in me, then you'll be unshakable. You'll be unshakable. In that moment, you'll go, I don't know what we're going to do, but I do know that he knows. And my faith will be after him. And anxiety and fear now don't have a place in my heart, because perfect love expels all fear. In this encounter with him, I encounter perfect love. Therefore, anxiety and fear of the world cannot have authority in my life. But the second I go, okay, I hear you, perfect love, good. But this thing down here, anxiety about it. I'm fearful about it. What am I going to do about that? And that's not saying, I don't want to minimize. The challenge with this is, you don't want to minimize the challenges that we do face. We have some real stuff. But it's, what has your heart? Let me hear you say, what has my heart? If you can get this, this is so foundational. This will translate to finances. This will translate to marriage and family. This will translate into your work. This will translate into your health. Knowing that, yeah, I'll face a trial, but the devil, he's always trying to stir up trouble. The only time the thief ever comes is to steal, kill, and destroy. Why does it surprise me when, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, we pressed in 40 days on the fast going into Azusa, and we had the burn, and we had this stuff, and I mean, I was thinking, some family and friends in here too, we've had some crazy, weird attacks. I mean, like, it's just like this is abnormal. Well, it's because the thief doesn't like it. But in the middle of that, I don't go, well, crud, maybe the devil's more powerful than Jesus. I mean, we say that and it sounds foolish. I get that. But what has your heart? We can live practically as atheists. I might have the right theology, but the way I practice my life might be, God really doesn't have authority in my life. And this is the importance right here. This is ground zero. That I am seated with him in heavenly realms. Because I'm seated with him, that means something. I have access to something that is real. And you might go, yeah, but this is a scary thing. Cancer is a scary thing. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. But my God is bigger than that. There is nothing that the enemy can take from you that the Lord cannot only restore, but give you 100-fold more. I was thinking of Mary and Martha as a brother Lazarus dies. Excuse me. And he's Jesus waits until he's dead. And he waits until he's in the tomb for several days. And when he comes up, Mary's like, or is he and Mary? Martha's going, where were you at? If you'd only been here. And he's like, it's okay. I got this. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to steal from you. I'm here. Because when I come, I bring life. And life in abundance. I bring financing. I bring hope. I bring purpose. So when you look at this verse, of course we haven't gotten very far. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's look at verse 22. I think this can be a misunderstood verse at times. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And here's, you want a simple way of understanding this? If my attention is on anything other than Jesus, there is no light. And without light, my eye can't see. So when I put my things onto the earth that do not emanate light, there's only one source of light and life in the universe, and that's God himself. So he's saying, look, if you have your attention on him, your eyes are going to be full of light that's going to bring faith inside of you. But if you take your attention off, you're taking your attention off the only thing that emanates light. And here's a good verse to understand that in heaven, after the new heaven and the new earth, there's not going to be a sun. Do you all realize that? Why? Because God himself is light. There won't be shadow in heaven because everywhere all at once will be the light of God. There won't be a place for shadow to hide. So when I come to the true light of the world, who is Jesus, it fills me up and I become a lamp now that's supposed to be exposed to the world so the light of the world shines through me. He says, arise and shine, for your light has come, your salvation has come. And so when we look at this, this is all about what my attention is. Let's look at verse 24. For no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon was actually a Babylonian god. Or Mesopotamian god, but in other words, it was a demonic influence of greed influence in the world. He's saying you cannot get treasure from the world and that bring you security. It's just an idol thing, and so there's going to be this constant battle. Either I'm serving God, or I'm serving the world. One is a nasty taskmaster. The devil does not like you. He hates you, and he'll make your life a living hell, because his life is. And his eternity is a living hell. But the Lord himself, who is your master, he's gracious, he's kind, he's patient, he's good, and he gives liberally to those he loves. So look what it says in here, verse 25. So therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat? What will you drink? Nor about your body? What will you put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And I'm just going to say this real quick. When I read that verse, I know he's talking about how do we adorn ourselves and what do I have, but when it says, don't worry about your body either. Again, remember, there's stewardship of taking care of your body. I was really convicted when I was laying on my backside because I couldn't breathe about staying in shape, about really taking and stewarding my body. But here's the thing. If God's first not my source, I could do everything in the world right in my body and still fall short. My security, my health is going to come from him. But because I have security in him, therefore now I steward what he gives me. And so I felt like real strongly, and I know I see the prayer request too, that there's some folks who are dealing with some health concerns and cares, and you're going, you know, I am concerned about my body. And let me say this, the Lord cares about your body. He's concerned about what you fear. He really does. He loves you 100%. So when you read this verse, don't think that guy goes, whatever, I don't care. You deal with those issues, minimize it. I'm big, I'm bad, whatever. That's not what the verse says. What he's saying is that if your attention is on your need again, you'll be consumed by your need instead of being consumed by the love of God, which brings healing. So therefore, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will wear, drink, about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? It's a standard of height. Who can add one inch to your height? By worrying. It's not going to expand your territory. It's not going to expand anything for you. says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, or unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But here it comes, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's a promise. It's not he may add them to you. No, he says they shall be. Say, well, what's the kingdom of God? The king. The dominion of the king. When you hear kingdom, you see kingdom. It means every single square inch of creation that a king rules and has authority over. That's the kingdom of God. And so God, who is the king, has dominion over all these things. So when it says seek first the kingdom, it's saying seek first an encounter with his heart, with who he is, and his righteousness. Because in his righteousness, he will provide for you. He is bound to his character. He's a righteous God. He is a good God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He does not act outside of his character. So if he is righteousness, that means you can expect righteousness into your life. Those areas that feel out of whack, he will bring into alignment as you seek after him. Sometimes it's instant. I've seen instant healing. I've seen miraculous healing. I was talking about, Catherine was up in Azusa and was listening to a testimony that she saw, and I was, you know, on a flight back from Thailand and watched a woman who had had a stroke instantly. Her face, I mean, everything, her hand was like ice. And as I prayed for her, life literally came back into her hand as we sat there. And there was an unbeliever, there was a Muslim woman in between us that's going, like, what just, she got up and went to the bathroom because it freaked her out. The righteousness of God. Sometimes it happens instantly. Sometimes we pray and it doesn't happen. And in that moment, you have to ask yourself, but where's my security come from? Is my God still good? Yes. Do I need to make up an excuse for why I didn't get healed? No. Well, maybe it's because I didn't pray right. Or maybe it's because I had this secret sin in my life. Or maybe it's because, go back to him. Encounter him. Well, maybe I just didn't have enough faith. He says, if you have a mustard seed of faith, That's not much. It's small. That's tiny. There's a man that came that says, Jesus, if you're able or you're willing to heal, I don't know about you, but that doesn't measure on the Richter scale of faith, if you're able, God. And yet God says, I am willing and able. The question is, what are you seeking first? Not even what you need. Not that answer to a prayer request. Not the loved one that's wandered from Jesus. Do you intercede for them? Yeah. But don't put them on the throne. Am I meddling? God loves you so much. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Go ahead and set your Bibles aside. It's interesting how the Lord has really kind of transformed the way we even do ministry. And for me, having an altar ministry team up here and ready to pray with you is really, really important. But it seems like just during the series that he's really gone to one-on-one, like you sitting there and really receiving from the Lord. And so what I want to do is I'm going to ask in a second, I'm going to have our altar ministry team come up, and they're going to be here ready to pray with you for anything that you have, any need, if it's illness, if it's breakthrough, whatever it may be, if you want to intercede for somebody else, a loved one, then come up and let them pray. If it's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need more of God, you need more strength, let us pray for you. But here's what I'm going to do. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to get to this place. And maybe you're visual, maybe you're not. If you're a feeler, then feel what I'm about to say. If you're a knower, just kind of let that settle into your spirit. But I want you to tap into your glorified imagination. And I want you to imagine that you're in heaven and you see the throne of God. And next to the throne, you can see, you can't even behold the throne because there's so much light emanating from the throne. It almost hurts to look up and see. But next to it, you see Jesus standing there with his hand still pierced. His side still has the hole in it. And he's beckoning you to him. Hey, I've been waiting for you. You're my favorite. Let's go sit down with Dad. Abba Father's got a good thing for you. I want you to walk up to Jesus, embrace him, sit down with him at the right hand of the Father. I want you to look up to the throne where the Father sits. And as you look up there, what you're going to see is love. You're going to see peace. You're going to see goodness. And it's going to be tangible. It's almost like looking at a rainbow and you see the different spectrums of light and color. And as you look at him, you're seeing the different spectrum of who God is. You to begin to seek him. Reach out to him. Invite him to hold you. Call him Daddy. And as you climb into his lap. I want you to visualize that there's something that was in your back pocket. Kind of like a big wallet. It's a big lump. And it's uncomfortable as you sit on it, as you're trying to sit on the Father's lap. I want you to pull it out. And I want you to realize that that's the problem of the earth that you've been carrying. And I want you to give it over to God. Just hand it over to him, saying, I think this is yours to deal with, not mine. Encounter him. There's not one more important thing in all of the universe you could be doing right now than seated with him in heaven. The problems of tomorrow, they'll be dealt with. The problems of today, you hand over to him. But you make a decision in this moment that I will not be consumed by the things of the world. But instead, I will be consumed by the love of my Father. Whoa. I want you to consider how small that problem is compared to how big your God is. Now I want you to look down at yourself as if you're looking into a mirror. If you're a guy, you're going to see something different. You're going to see maybe it's a robe, a tuxedo. You've got these incredible ornate ring on your hand. You've got this crown on your head. Even the thread of your tuxedo is made out of gold. Ladies, you've just got a beautiful flowing gown. You've got this beautiful crown on your head that's adorned with every single jewel that's ever been designed. There's even jewels on it that humans have never discovered yet. In that moment, I want you to realize you are God's child. You're not an orphan. You don't live in poverty. You don't even remember what fear looks like. Because you are secure in His rich love for you. Now in this moment, the Father goes over and says, I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. I designed you for greatness. You are great. It's the Father saying that. He says, you are great. You are amazing. You are beautiful. You're brilliant. You're smart. He says, I'm going to send you into the earth like I sent my Son to transform it. And you're going to carry with you heaven. And He's with you because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He's not sending you alone. He's sending Himself with you. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would begin to settle into each of our hearts exactly what is needed. Because you said that if we seek you first in your righteousness, then all these things will be added to us. Lord, make us aware of those things that you've just added to us. That there's going to be provision in the bank account. That there's going to be healing for a disease. That depression is gone and now uncontainable joy is present. That family lines have been restored. Areas of influence into government and business, blueprint designs have been deposited. And that now you're sending back your children to invade the earth because they sit with you. So Holy Spirit, we just say, we love you. Have your way with us. Empower us. And we ask this right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I want you to do is, if you got a visual, things like that, write it down before you leave here. I can't tell you the amount of times I've picked up something for God and I say, I'll just remember it, and I don't. So write it down if He spoke to your heart. If this is your first time into an environment like this, it's okay. We're just going after the heart of the Father. It's about relationship. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask that our altar ministry team would come forward. And now we're going to go after those things. And maybe as you stand up and saying, I've been dealing with a hip issue, and you're going to realize before you even walk up here that it's already been healed. Because in His presence, He healed you. But invite people to experience this. Know that God loves you unconditionally. Walk in wholeness. Walk with purpose. And I can promise you that God's got greater things in for you than you can ever imagine. Amen? Amen. So won't y'all stand up with me? Put your hand over your heart. Say, Jesus, you are who you say you are. That's the King of the universe, the lover of my soul, and my good Savior. Send me your Holy Spirit. Empower me to your purposes. As we knock down the gates of hell. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give Him praise. Come on. Yeah. Go ahead. Go for it.
I just asked Pastor Jay if I could share a testimony real quick. Y'all know I had surgery on my wrist and my elbow a few weeks ago, and the elbow's been a real slow recovery, and it's been aching a lot since we stopped worship up here, and I left the platform, and I was back there whining about it, and Victoria reached over and just prayed for me, and y'all, the pain is gone, and so God is good, and he heals. All we have to do is ask him. He is faithful. So
that's it. So if you need prayer requests, come on up. Otherwise, hang out as a family. If you got somewhere to go, go, but maybe take somebody to lunch that you don't know. And just begin to get to know each other, build some intimacy, and just have a great week. I love you guys.